The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message. In last week's worship time together, we focused on a simple Bible study guide that as you read a passage, you answer the following questions. One, what is the at least one important truth or thought found in that passage? And second, how can I apply that truth or thought to my life today? This week, we're going to be looking at Psalm 63 with the idea behind using those two questions as our focus. What are you yearning for? Psalm 63. Let's read together. O God, you are my God. I shall seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh yearns for you in a dry and weary land where there is no water. Thus I have seen you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. So I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul is satisfied as with the marrow and the fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches, for you have been my help, and in the shadow of your wings I sing for joy. My soul clings to you, your right hand upholds me. But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth, and they will be delivered over to the power of the sword. They will be a prey for the foxes. But the king will rejoice in God. Everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we look at this passage this morning, Lord, teach us from your word what it means to yearn for you, to seek you, and to think and wonder about you. Help us to know you. In Jesus' name, amen. Looking at this psalm together, the first thing we're going to do is kind of go through this psalm and look at the different verses and see what's there. And then we're going to look at the important truths behind some of this passage. First, we find that in Psalm 63, it's a psalm of David. David was wandering in the wilderness. This was a time when David was under attack and people were after him. Armed men were pursuing him and he was running for his life. This psalm could have been written during the time of Saul, when Saul was pursuing David, or maybe during the revolt of Absalom. But David was in the wilderness. He was away from the sanctuary of God, the temple or the tabernacle of God. And he was desperate and disillusioned and discouraged. Yet in the midst of the turmoil that he was facing, he turns to God, seeking him with all of his might. Verse 1 says, in his plea there, as David confesses of his personal relationship with God, O God, thou art my God, and I'll seek you earnestly. My soul thirsts for you, and my flesh yearns for you, as in a dry and weary land where there is no water. David declares his relationship by stating that God was his God. With all of his being, he seeks to know and experience a deep relationship with God, and a desire to follow him and to know him and to have a deep relationship with him. His desire was such as is someone who is in the desert land seeking water in that dry and parched land. But only God could quench David's thirst. Verse 2, we see that he says, Thus I beheld you in the sanctuary to see thy power and thy glory. David was in the wilderness, long ways from God's sanctuary, but he desired to be with God, just as if he was in the sanctuary. He wanted to see God, to gaze intently, to perceive and experience God in a real and personal way. He desired to worship God, to admire God's great glory and power, God's power that could describe his strength and his majesty. God's glory would include his abundant honor and splendor. David wanted to give praise to God, to fellowship with God and worship him. Verse 3, because of your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise you. David was out in the wilderness, running, but yet he desired the steadfast love of God more than life itself. The Hebrew word that's translated loving kindness is rich in meaning. It carries the idea of strength and steadfastness and love and mercy and grace and goodness and kindness and faithfulness and devotion, all conveyed up into one word, loving kindness. God's loving kindness never changes. Regardless of the circumstances that we find ourselves in, it's God's faithful love and mercy and grace that sustain us. That was what David was seeking. Verse 4, I will bless you as long as I live. I will lift up my hands to your name. Because of God's great steadfast love, David would bless and praise God all the days of his life. It didn't matter that David was fleeing for his life in the wilderness. He still wanted to praise God. The circumstances of life do not change who God is. In fact, we are able to praise him and thank him no matter what the circumstances of life we find. David followed the Jewish custom of praying with his face and hands lifted up to the Lord and with those outstretched arms of a child reaching out to his loving father. Verse 5, my soul is satisfied with the marrow and the fatness, and my mouth offers praises with joyful lips. David was thirsting and yearning for God, just as if he was searching for water in a dry land. But here, not only did God give him water, God gave him the marrow and the fatness, the best of all that there is, the richest of foods to eat. God had provided a wonderful banquet, if you will, of food for David as David worshiped him. David would have accepted simple bread to eat and water to drink, and yet God satisfied him with the finest food. Verse 6, when I remember you on my bed, I will meditate on you in the night watches. Even as he was restless at night, he still yearned for God. He thought about God. He remembered the things that God had done in the past, and he thought about how God had sustained him through all the difficult circumstances. He pondered upon God's word, seeking a deep understanding of Scripture. He meditated on God and God's great glory and power and love. As David lay down in the quietness and stillness of the night, he reflected on the greatness of God. Verse 7, for thou hast been my help, and the shadow of thy wings I sing for joy. Even with trouble all around him, David takes comfort in remembering God has helped him in the past and will continue to help him in the present and in the future. David takes comfort in knowing that he is in God's presence. The shadow of thy wings could be a phrase that alludes to the Ark of the Covenant and where the angel's wings covered the Ark of the Covenant. Or it could even mean as like an eagle who covers her young with her wings. God's presence, God's protection, God's comfort caused David to sing for joy. Verse 8, my soul clings to thee, thy right hand upholds me. David's heartfelt desire was to cling to God. He didn't want earthly things or even heaven. He wanted to be with God right then, right there. The word cling carries the idea of being closely associated or even glued together in an intense and earnest desire to be close with God, to spend all of his time with him, to walk with him, to follow him. It implies loyal, submissive, obedient, and faithful pursuit of God. While David wanted to cling to God, God was actually holding upon him. God was holding him with his right hand. Verses 9 and 10, the tone of the psalm changes as David ponders what was happening around him. As he says, "But those who seek my life to destroy it will go into the depths of the earth, and they will be delivered over to the power of the sword, and they will be prey for the foxes." David's God's servant is running for his life, and his enemies are on hot pursuit trying to kill him. Yet David prays here that God would deal with his enemies, that God would take the initiative, the rebellion of his enemies and judge them. That the wrath of God would be delivered by the sword of justice, and the enemies would be devoured. In verse 11, David concludes the psalm, "But the king will rejoice in God, and everyone who swears by him will glory, for the mouths of those who speak lies will be stopped." Even here in the darkest hours, as David was in the desert, wandering and fleeing from his enemies, David rejoiced and praised God. His trust in God was great. God was there for him and sustaining him, even in the midst of the difficult circumstances. And David could give praise, because God would be the victory. So we've had a quick look at Psalm 63 and the text as to what's happening in this psalm. I hope that you have been looking for important truths or thoughts from this passage that strike you and seem important to you. The one thought that I want to share and zero in on in the next few moments is the idea of yearning for God. As David said, that he yearned for God. He was seeking after God with his whole being, with his heart and all of his heart and soul and mind and strength. Like David, we too need to fill our minds with God and to be yearning and seeking after God. Jesus in John 15 describes it this way. This concept of yearning and seeking God and being with God in God's presence as abiding. We must abide with him and his word. John 15, Jesus says these words, starting in verse 5. "I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you could do nothing. And if anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather to them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Notice verse 7. "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Did you catch that phrase, abide? To abide in Christ, to abide in as the branch abides in the vine. That if we abide in verse 7, if you abide in me, my words abide in you. The idea there of our abiding in Christ and abiding in his word. Heather Kaufman wrote in the Open Windows. She wrote these words. Christ calls this concept abiding or remaining, and it describes it as a mutual endeavor. As he abides in us, we will abide in him. We do so by bathing our minds and our hearts in the truths of God's word. As God's word takes root in us, he begins to realign our soul to him so that his desires become ours, his mission becomes ours, and our very lives become tethered to his. As he lives in us, we truly live. Wonderful statements of thought about what it means to be abiding in Christ and letting his words abide in us. That we are full of God's word, living in him. One of the books I'm reading right now is entitled The Practice of the Presence of God. It's written by Brother Lawrence. This was a lay brother who was a cook for a Carmelite monastery in the 1600s. Brother Lawrence was known for his life of devotion and his awareness of the presence of God. I want to read you a couple of quotes. Brother Lawrence wrote that our only business was to love and delight ourselves in God. Another place he wrote that there was neither an art nor a science for going to God, but only a heart resolutely determined to apply itself to nothing but him, or for his sake, and to love him only. And he writes a few lines later that the end we ought to purpose ourselves is to become in this life the most perfect worshipers of God we can possibly be, as we hope to be throughout all eternity. One of the aspects of what Brother Lawrence's life was like is that he had a sense of God's awareness around him, and his awareness of living in God, abiding in God, yearning after God, seeking God, delighting himself in God's presence. That no matter what his business was, and as he was going through his daily routine of cooking in the monastery, that Brother Lawrence filled his mind and his heart with God's word, God's presence, with the love of God. That everything Brother Lawrence did, he did with love in his heart for God, and as if it was for God. So we see here this important truth of the need to yearn after God, even as David did. And how can we apply this truth to our lives today? What are you yearning for? What are you yearning with all of your being? What fills your mind and your heart all day long? So I began to think about applying this truth. It's the idea of spending time every day, multiple times a day even, reading the Bible and praying, that filling my mind with Scripture and with thoughts of the Lord, reading Christian books and Bible commentaries and studying the Bible, watching worship videos on the internet. As this strange days of 2020 and 2021 with the pandemic and even this week with the snow that's outside as I'm looking out my window, seeing the snow on the ground, I have found joy and peace in reading God's word, spending time and more time than ever in God's word, reading the Bible and worshiping God every day, reading other books, Christian books, filling my mind with God's thoughts, filling my mind with his presence, yearning to seek God, to know him. What are you yearning for? What are you yearning for? If you are a child of God, will you fill your mind and your heart with God's word, God's love, and God's grace? Are you yearning for God, thirsting after him, seeking him and worshiping him and praising him all the day long? Maybe there's a yearning in your heart right this moment because you're not one of God's children, and you yearn to be a child of God. Maybe there is a yearning in your heart to know God and to have that personal relationship with God, just like David did. Even in the midst of troubles and trials, that God is there with you. Today can be the day of salvation. Today can be the day that you begin your life of knowing God and yearning for him and finding him and letting him feel your presence, feeling his presence in your life. Today might be that day of salvation. Think about the ABCs. A, acknowledge your need for God, that you are a sinner, and that you need God's forgiveness and a new life in him. B, believe that Jesus is God's Son, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins, and that he was buried and rose again the third day, and that only in Jesus can your sins be forgiven and your life changed. C, confess your faith in Jesus, trusting in Jesus alone to save you and to give you a new life. Will you do that today? Will you call upon Jesus? And he will save you. Lord God, we pray right now that our hearts be yearning for you, seeking you in your presence, seeking to know you, seeking to be completely filled with your Spirit. Lord, help us as we yearn for you, that we would know your presence in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.